Either one.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Doug McIsaac and with Online for Offline, and today I have Ron Douglas Duckett on the phone with me, and we're going to be talking about how you can build your list, both for a traditional small business and for people that are building an online business. And we're going to talk about how to build a relationship with that list once you've built that list. And Ron's background is he's built a number of online businesses. Do you ever know how many businesses you have online now, Ron?
man, I have about 18 different websites and about 4 different niches.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, and I know you've got around 215,000 people on your list. And actually, it's like 265, isn't it? Because you're saying you had another account with 50,000 people on it.
Yeah. Probably about 265. I haven't like deduped to see, you know, which one are on both lists, but yeah, it's well over 200,000.
That's awesome. And one of the main reasons I wanted to get you on a call, besides the fact that we've worked together on some projects, is your skill at building your relationship with your list and your ability to communicate directly to people. You know, like you're talking to them face to face, and that's a skill that a lot of us need to struggle. I struggle to learn that, to do that. I can talk to people, but doing it right is difficult for me. But let's, Ron, do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background before we get started, and then we'll go ahead and start on how you can build your list, and then move on from there.
Well, I started out in the corporate world. You know, I got my MBA. I went to school, like most people tell you, stay in school. I started working for J.P. Morgan as a financial analyst, and I was miserable. I was working 60 to 70 hours a week, and I thought to myself, this had to be a better way. And you know, back in 2001, a guy that I went to grad school with got a job working for a company that marketed cell phones for AT&T. So he was a good friend of mine at the time, and we started doing some projects together online. And he kind of introduced me to the concept of email marketing, and I fell in love with it from the first day. And I started to devote a lot of my time on finding things to promote, pretty much. We started building email lists and trying to make money as an affiliate. And before long, you know, we discovered that it would be better if we create our own product and have other affiliates promote our products, other webmasters and other websites and newsletters and whatnot. If they were promoting our product instead of us trying to promote someone else's product, we would make a lot more money that way. So my first big hit was a cooking ebook that featured secret restaurant recipes. Like if someone wanted to know how to make their favorite dishes from chain restaurants like Red Lobster, Olive Garden, TGIF, and whatnot, we would have those on our site and in our ebook, and that was a hit. And it really took off, and affiliates started promoting it, and we built a big community around that and a forum. And we discovered that it was the hobby of a lot of people to try to clone these recipes. And from there, with affiliates sending us this traffic, we began building a big email list for our weekly newsletter that featured, you know, sample recipes. And that was mainly how my first big list got off the ground.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, one of the main differences probably between an offline business and a strictly online business selling like an ebook is, well, to begin with, any offline business can come up with an electronic product, an information product that they can either give away or sell. And that there isn't any industry out there. I mean, I've got a friend who's done very well with using a plumbing product in the plumbing industry because of a lead generation information product that he gives away. But that's really good. Getting started in recipes. I mean, what would you have ever thought that you were doing making a living off of a recipe site when you got started in this?
No, not at all. I wasn't like a professional chef or anything. I mean, I could cook. I worked in like the school cafeteria and stuff like that, but I wasn't like a professional chef, but it was You know, actually, it was a funny story. One day, me and my wife were just trying to figure out how to make the recipe for KFC. And at the time, I was in internet marketing, but not too successful. So we kind of just stumbled on this niche, and we found it was a great niche with a lot of interested people at the time. So, you know, sometimes when you're looking for an opportunity, you know, it just you stumble upon it when you least expect it, you know. That if I wasn't already in internet marketing and aware of what was possible and looking for a product to create and sell, then I would have never even noticed. I probably would have just found that recipe and that would have been it.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, let's start with how do you build a list? What would you say are the things that someone needs to focus on to build a list online? And I'll talk about some other ideas for offline. But what do you think are the first steps someone needs to do if they want to build a list online?
Well, I would say, you know, building a list, you want to have a topic that you're either proficient at, even an expert at, or even know more than most people know about, or something that you're interested in where you're going to be willing to put the time in. Because once you start building that list, you have to deliver content to these people, you know. So you want it to be something that you can get interested in if you're not already, at least. And you want it to be a market where there's a lot of interest in, a lot of potential traffic. Which, you know, if you do that, it's easier to build a list. A lot of people say, there's two different philosophies on it. A lot of people say try to find a micro niche where there's not much competition. I try to say, you know, I prefer to find a niche where there is competition because at least you know it's a viable market. And if there's competition, that means there's traffic. That means there's sales. That means that, you know, it's an interest in it because there's competition for a reason, you know, and there's not competition for a reason. So I prefer a competitive market. And you want to actually offer something for free on your site that people really want. You know, I see a lot of people trying to drive traffic to their site and build their list, but if you don't have something that people want, you're really wasting time and money with that traffic. So that's the first thing. So the easiest way to do that, I find, as an online publisher, is just to find the best-selling products and see what they're offering. And then from there, you can offer some of the same things for free. See what information they're giving out, what people are paying for, and take a sample of that and offer it for free. So if you're an offline business, you know, you can offer rebates or coupons or samples of your product, or, you know, discounts on future offers. Just give value for free, and that's the best way to actually get people to sign up for your list. The other thing is you want to make sure that they know that you're not going to be spamming them. You want to be upfront about what they're going to receive, so they know what to expect. And the other thing I would say is, from there, you actually want to create a sales pitch for your opt-in for your newsletter, the same way you would if you were selling a product. You want to feature the benefits of it. Don't just assume that people are just going to give you their email address nowadays, because it's really competitive. Everybody is on everybody's list and getting a ton of emails. So you want yours to stand out and be different, and you want them to see, okay, I'm getting a lot of value from this just by signing up for free. So from there, it becomes a game of you know, knowing your numbers and getting traffic. Like I was saying, the way I did it with my initial site was to have an affiliate program where affiliates would actually send us the traffic. And that's another, it's like a paid method, because you're paying the affiliates for if they generate sales from that traffic. So there's paid methods and there's non-paid methods, there's free methods. I'm going to talk about both. The paid method, you know, the first one I would say is have an affiliate program, have affiliates promoting your product, sending you traffic, and then you could build a list by giving a free sample of the product before people consider buying it. That's the way I did it. The other way is to, if you don't have a product to sell, you can drive traffic to what's called a squeeze page, which is a page designed with the sole purpose of just getting someone to opt in to your email list. Now, to do that, you could spend money as well, but you just have to try to offset it with some type of commission or some type of offer after the person signs up for your list. Like what I teach people to do is right after they press submit and submit their email address, you want to present them with some type of offer, and you want the opt-in page to lead into that offer and to warm them up for that offer so they're actually expecting it after they submit their email address. And at least by doing it that way, you have a potential to earn a commission by promoting someone else's product and offset some of the cost of driving traffic to your site. And everybody knows there's many ways to drive traffic. There's pay-per-click, you know, with Google AdWords, and there's a bunch of different ways to spend money. You could actually advertise in someone else's newsletter. And, you know, it's just the fact that you want to offset that cost with any revenue that you can potentially get. And if you break even, that's great because you're building your list and kind of building it for free and driving traffic for free because it's offset with those commissions. So those are the two paid methods, I would say. The free methods is with internet marketing, it's like either you pay for the traffic or you put in a lot of work to get the traffic, or you just have something so great that people have to talk about it and send you traffic. The third way is like the hardest to do. You know, if you have something that's so awesome on your site that people have to, you get a lot of word of mouth traffic. If you can do that, great. If not, you have to really work at it if you want to get traffic for free. You have to get your ads, a link back to your site all over the internet. You want to know the people that are interested in your offer. You want to know where they hang out online, and you want to be there with them, establishing yourself as an expert. So there's many forums and Yahoo Answers and different groups that you can join that have people interested in your offer. And now these days with, you know, the whole Web 2.0 and the internet becoming more interactive, there are a lot more places where you could find your potential customers and your potential subscribers and answer their questions and build a relationship with them on other people's sites. You could have a link back to your free offer and you'll get a lot of traffic that way. Another free way that really works well is to find a newsletter publisher related to your site and offer to write for them for free. You know, if they have a big list, say if they have a list of 100,000 subscribers, and you write a really good article or pay somebody to write a really good article and submit it to them, they're likely, you know, to publish your article because people are always looking for new content that their subscribers would like. You know, so they're likely to publish your article, and then that's a way to get a link in that article back to your site and get a lot of free traffic just by them publishing your articles. And you can find several people like that have newsletters willing to publish your articles. So those are, you know, some methods to build your list, both free and paid.
Some other additions to that would be not just online newsletters, but I mean, make sure that when you are, if you're advertising your business, your website, that you do it on everything. You could, if you have a retail presence, you make sure that when people are purchasing something from you, that they are told to go online and register for, usually discounts are the most common way to do it, but to go online and register for your email list to receive discounts or become part of a lot of businesses will do a membership where your online members are, you know, a gold member or a platinum member, and they get notified of special discount sales and stuff like that. Another way similar to newsletters is, you know, actual print magazines, and putting the same concept of putting the articles in the print magazines, but giving people a reason within the articles to go to your website, and to sign up for your online newsletter. That's something that, you know, so many small businesses will have a website but not tell anybody about it,
right.
And certainly not communicate with their customers using their website, which is such an inexpensive way to do it. And with where postage is going now, that, you know, a mailing a print newsletter can, you know, cost you a dollar per person. If you got a list of any size, that can be significant. Whereas online email, it costs you $20 to $50 a month to host your emails somewhere and have those and have an autoresponder service send the emails out for you. So it really is such an inexpensive way to maintain communication.
Right,
with
you can
your customers.
Send an unlimited amount of emails just by paying, you know, $20 to $50 a month. It allows you to just communicate with your customers whenever you want. And the beauty of that also is customers want to hear from you. You know, and the more they hear from you, the more likely they are to come back to your establishment or to continue buying your products. And whenever you have a special offer or a new product coming out, you have an instant platform to market that product basically for free just by sending out an email to all those prior customers and subscribers to your newsletter. So it's really worth it, and really more businesses need to use that as a tool because it's so effective these days. Everyone has an email address.
More and more. And I mean, there's examples of every type of business out there using email effectively. I mean, everything from scrapbooking stores to, like I said, my friend of mine who's a plumber built his business with building an email autoresponder series and giving away free reports online. Just every industry out there, you can find something that your customers are interested in. I want to go through a couple other examples. If you had a fly fishing shop, maybe maps of the best fly fishing spots in your area. If you had a restaurant, you can have either specials or you could have the recipes online for your customers, but they have to register for your newsletter to get it. There's a wide variety. If you're an insurance salesperson, if you're selling commercial insurance, then you talk about ways to limit your commercial liability opportunities. So there's lots of different stuff out there that you can do to make available to people. And one of the other things that we like to do when we do a lot of lead generation is we'll put up a list of the top 7 things to ask before you hire, a plumber or hire a networking technologist or et cetera. And that'll be one of the free reports that we'll give away to get people on board. So those are lots of different ways that you can do it. And it's all about educating the consumer so that they can, that they're getting something out of that, as well as getting them into your funnel and into your list so you can communicate with them and build that relationship. Because nowadays it's all about relationships and marketing. I mean, the days of the guy that can hard sell by pounding on somebody's door or hard sell by calling you on the phone, that doesn't work as well anymore. We're all immune to hard sell, or at least mostly immune to hard sell anymore. Our customers want to build that relationship because we don't have the relationships that we used to have, and we really need to sell through relationships. At least that's my opinion. So let's segue into relationships. How do you find what do you find are the best ways or the best steps to go through to build relationships with your list? Once you have them on your list, Ron.
Well, what I've found to work exceptionally well for me personally is that, the first thing you want to do is obviously you want to give them exactly what they signed up for and try to exceed their expectations. You know, it's nothing worse than giving your email address, signing up, and then you don't get what you thought you were going to get. So that's the first part of it. The second part I would say is whatever you're giving for free, you just don't want to give something for free just to be giving it, just to get them to sign up. You want to actually give something for free that's going to establish you as an expert in that person's mind, right? So if you have a company, like in my case, I had a cookbook on secret recipes. So I would give them secret recipes. I would give them the best ones I could find. So I knew if they made those recipes, it would work. And they would really appreciate it, and they would say, okay, well, this guy really knows his stuff. Like, I could have gave away, some cooking tips or whatever, but I gave away something that promoted my product. You want your free offer to be kind of like a promotion for your product, and you want the customer to say, okay, well, if this free offer is so good, the product is probably going to be even better if I pay for it. So that's what you really want to do to establish your expertise. And then, at the same time, I think one of the most important things that people overlook is you want to just talk to people. When you send emails, what I do personally is I talk to people as if I'm talking directly to that person. I write my emails as if I'm writing to a friend and not writing to an entire group of people. So what I do is I personalize the emails. When they sign up for my email list, I get the person's first name along with their email address. And now the first name is in my database. And from that, I can when I send my emails out, I can do like a query, put a code into the email where it will pull the person's first name right from the database. So each person will get a customized email in their inbox, like, "Hi, Ron, here's your newsletter." You know, whatever the person's name is, "Hi, Doug, here's your newsletter." So that provides a personal touch right up front. And you can collect any information you want on your website and have it populated in your emails. As long as you get it into your database, when you collect it, you could put it into your emails and populate it. You know, if you got the person's last purchase or what they purchased last in your database, you could actually put that in the email. And you could say something like, "I've seen you purchased a Chevy Nova last. We have some accessories for that." You could even sort your list by everybody who purchased a certain product. So, for instance, if you have a list of everyone who purchased, you know, product A, you could send emails out just to everyone who purchased product A. And these are the same services that we were talking about that only cost between $20 and $50 a month to have. So to get back to what I was saying about being personable, you want to talk directly to them as if they're one of your friends, and you want to, you know, make them feel comfortable with you. You want them to like you, so you want to be humble. You want to, at the same time, it's an art to being humble, but at the same time being an expert. So you really want to be kind of down to earth, never brag too much, you know, talk directly to the person and let them know you're a real person. And the best way to do that is by sharing certain stories or certain developments with your business. If you share that with them, they feel like they're a part of it. And that's just, you know, one of the ways to build a relationship with your list. But I find that over time, people start to really enjoy your emails and look forward to your emails. And even if they have 1,000 emails in their inbox, they'll find your email because they're accustomed to receiving it and they know you and they like your email. So that's the real secret to getting people to open your emails and making your emails more effective. If they feel like they recognize you and if you have a relationship with them, your email marketing will be very effective. So those are just some of the tips that I've personally had success with.
Oh, that's great. I need to tell some people are lifting their hands, so to speak, to ask questions. And I just want to tell you, we can't pull you in because when I brought Ron on the air, it crashed the switchboard. And the Blog Talk Radio is having some issues, and I don't dare touch that again to bring somebody else on air with their questions.
Yeah, you usually have that effect on technology.
Yeah, it breaks when you touch it. So if you do have some questions you'd like to add during the call, there is a chat function where I've started a chat session, and you can just click on it online at Blog Talk Radio, and you can enter questions in the chat area, and I will we will respond to those when we get to the question part of the call. Okay, folks, I apologize for that. Technology is amazing when it works and not amazing when it doesn't work. It's been a little frustrating. I was a little nervous at the beginning of the call when it crashed, but at least I was able to get Ron on, and I believe everything else is working as well.
Just give it a good kick, and then maybe it'll come back.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, the kick is, I think they're in Philadelphia somewhere. I think you're closer, Ron. I want to go rotate back. I liked how you're talking about, you know, talking directly to people and the database. And one of the things that's easier for an offline business is you understand your demographics, yes, I can speak, better than someone online because you see the people face-to-face. You know who your customers are. And that's something you need to keep track of so that you know, you understand who you're talking to. You can ask them questions about what their needs, wants, desires are. You can get a better understanding of how they want to be communicated to. So obviously, if you had a scrapbooking store, you wouldn't be talking about you know, your email newsletter wouldn't be full of the latest football scores and, you know, talking about Wild Wings or Buffalo
right.
Wild Wings or places like that. You need to understand your demographics and talk to them about the subjects that they're interested in.
Right. And another big thing is people open emails because they want to be entertained, really. So you want to make your emails as entertaining as possible, and the more you can do so by telling stories and, you know, entertaining people, the better your response rate will be. And the other thing is you want to brand your emails when you send them out so that people recognize them immediately upon seeing the where it's coming from and upon opening and seeing the opening. You know, you want to be consistent with the from address, with the title of the newsletter that you're sending, because consistency is what brands that email newsletter in people's minds and gets them to be more responsive to it.
Right. Like when you do your Recipe Secrets newsletter, I mean, you follow the same format, even with the, not even just the subject line, but within the newsletter itself, you have the same basic format
right.
every time you send it.
Yeah, that's because I'm lazy also. I just keep that there and just copy the rest of the content after the edit.
That's funny. Well, there's certainly a way. Well, we won't be telling people to be lazy about it, but there's what where online is a good place to find information, to find people. This is a question that came in. Where online would you find people that are interested in your subject?
Well, Yahoo Answers is a good place to find people interested in your subject. You know, different social networking sites. You know, one of the things you could do is just go to Google, type your subject plus forum or plus blog or plus group. You know, and you can find forums, blogs, and groups related to your subject. And you can see how popular they are. And one of the strategies that I use is, say, for instance, I'm interested in teaching people how to start their own newsletter. I would go to Google, type in email marketing forum or email marketing blog or something like that, and I would find the most popular forums and blogs with the most people and find the most popular posts related to that subject. And then you want to have a presence in those posts. So most forums, blogs, and groups, they'll show you how many members, how much traffic it's got, how many views, how many replies. So find the ones that's the most popular, because you know those are the ones getting traffic, and then you could create a presence in those by sharing your expertise and participating in those particular posts.
That's great. Yeah, finding out where people are hanging out, finding out what's important to them, and then being able to write about that within your newsletter as well. I mean, that gives you great ideas for topics, and it also gives you a place to find people that are interested in your subject.
Mm-hmm. And another way just came to my mind is, especially for offline, because I know you do the online for offline thing, is, you know, there's usually most industries have like an industry group that are like the leader of that industry, the source for information for that industry. And if you can, you know, they have local seminars and things like that. If you could find who that organization is and maybe offer to provide content to their members, I'm sure they have their own newsletter and their own content going out to subscribers and stuff. If you can offer to provide content and help out, and you know, just volunteer, it's a good way to get exposure through their members, like industry wide, and it's a good way to establish yourself as an expert in that industry.
That is a good way to do it, and it's, you know, all comes down to publicity. And, you know, if you're writing articles for a newsletter, you can might as well submit those articles to other publications to
right.
get your name out there. And it doesn't matter what industry you're in; it's always good to be seen as an expert in that industry, both from your local clients and from, and even nationally. It always helps naturally, helps to be seen as an expert by others in your industry. That's really where you want to be. What No, let's see, blogs. Blogs are something a little off topic for us, but that's also a good place for us to send people and interact with people and get some information from them. Just certainly, we'll have another guest on who'll be talking in depth about blogs here in a couple of weeks. Just out of curiosity, Ron, do you do much survey-wise with your email customers? Do you do a lot of surveying with them?
Yeah, I do kind of like informal surveys. It's like from time to time, I'll just send them an email and ask for replies. Like, what do you think about this? I'll say that in the email, and I'll get a lot of replies. I know people do more formal type of surveys online, like using different survey applications. I think SurveyMonkey is one of the sites that allow you to put a survey right on your site. But, you know, whenever I'm doing, like, for instance, I just had a new product launch, and I was curious about what price to charge. So what did I do? I have a list. I just asked the people on the list, like, what do you think is a fair price for this product? And you know, based on their replies, that's what I ended up charging. And the worst thing you could do is go into a product launch and not know the right price. So if you undercut yourself, you know, if you charge too low a price, then you're losing a lot of money and may not even realize it. If you charge too much, you could also be losing a lot of money because you won't get the volume of sales because people think the price is too high. So it's good to do surveys, especially in terms of pricing for a new product, to find out what the right price is and don't just assume that you know the right answer.
So I'm reading questions as we're talking along here. Well, before I continue my dive into questions, any other tips or action steps you'd recommend people to take for helping to build the relationship, building rapport with their list?
I think I gave a lot of tips related to that.
You did, yeah. Already. Yeah, you did.
A tip, I guess, would be when you have the recording to this call, go over the tips I gave. But, I mean, another tip would be, you know, as a lot of people say, they call it nowadays moving the free line.
Yes.
One of the things you could do is, you know, give free things to your subscribers that you know they'll like. And by giving free stuff, you know, maybe if you give free stuff like maybe once a week or once a month, you give something for free, it keeps people looking forward to the next free thing you're going to give them. And another tip I would have is, you know, especially when you're giving free information, you want the subscriber to get to know you on different levels of communication. Like, for instance, you could use video to give your free item, or just let them know you. If they hear your voice, if they see your face, you know, it's just more than just words. It's more than just sending an email. If you can do a video, if you can do an audio recording, like this interview, for instance, is another way to interview somebody popular in your niche, and then make that free to your subscribers. That's another way to build a list, to build a relationship with your list. The more ways they imagine you, the more ways they can relate to you, the better the relationship will be. And especially if you can find an expert and kind of put your name next to that expert's name, and it's kind of like authority by association. If you're going to find an authority and they see that you're interviewing that authority and that you know that authority on that level, they automatically view you as someone being like a peer to that authority, someone as being an authority in their own right because of your relationship with that authority, the person that you're interviewing with. And you may not even know that person. It could be the first time you spoke to them at the interview, but it's just psychologically people see you as an authority also because you're interacting with another authority.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, that can happen in any industry. There's always somebody who's seen as an expert or in an industry that people want to listen to, whether it's there's somebody who's a nationally known chef or if you're doing scrapbooking, I don't know the industry, but I'm sure there are people that are well known for putting together patterns, fly fishing, you know, a nationally known, nationally recognized fly fisherman. There's, you know, every industry out there has somebody. For a for somebody who's selling commercial insurance. You know, you can talk about other, you can step a little bit farther outside of your individual skill and work with people that are surrounding your skill or your market, but who target the same client base. That's another way to work it as well, and find experts, is to find people that have other skills that are related that, you know, your customers are also interested in.
Right, and you'll be surprised how willing they are to do it if you just ask. You know, people love free exposure, you know, and if you have a list of people and you tell, go, you know, approach an expert and say, I have a list of people that I want you to do an interview for free, you know, a lot of times they'll do it just to get exposure to your list, and at the same time, it's a win-win situation because you're viewed as an authority by interviewing that authority. So don't be afraid to ask is the basic idea behind it.
Oh, most assuredly. And you know, I mean, there's, go into Amazon and just look through, you know, look for authors of books in your niche. Go and look in review magazines that are popular within your niche and, you know, contact the authors in there. Many, many times you can get them to do interviews with you if all you have to do is ask. And that's, you know, it's like so much in life. It's just a matter of taking action and asking somebody for their assistance. Is a huge piece of action that we need to take, and so many people are not willing to take that first step. Let's see, another thing, for newsletters, one of the things that a lot of people aren't familiar with, because part of the email relationship and building the newsletter does come, besides your own articles, is getting articles from these experts. And there are... And you contact a lot of these authors in these publications, magazines, they usually have articles available that they're willing to let you put in your newsletter. Some will charge you and some will be free. And then there are also other areas online where you can get articles for free that are free to be published, as long as you have the author's, what's called a resource box in the article. You can use their articles freely for whatever you want to use them for, whether it's an email newsletter or a print newsletter. And it's all about, like Ron's been saying, building a relationship is all about providing more value than they expect from you.
Right.
And that value can, like we're saying, can come from a number of different directions and just providing the information that they want. And we need to be smart about how we provide it, and we also need to, you know, ask people what they're interested in knowing about. And you know, you're able to ask them face-to-face. Once you've built up a list, you can start asking the list. And once you have the list, you can also use the list for a lot of other things to build your local business. Mm-hmm. You can ask them what product lines. You can survey them about what product lines they'd like to see you going into. You can ask them what type of promotions they'd like to see. You can ask those types of questions to increase the relationship. And, you know, I used to own, in my past, a retail store, and I can't tell you how excited customers would get when you started carrying a new line of stuff, and you told them that it was doing very well. It's just that recognition that they get from, yeah, I told them they needed to start selling this, and they're selling it, and they're doing really, really well. People like that recognition. It really helps you build your evangelist for you, the people that are going to go out there and tell other people about you.
Right.
So the list gives you another opportunity to communicate with people about that. Let's see. I'm going to go through the questions, see if there's anything else I need to...
All right. And I would say, just off the back, for a business that's looking to increase its revenues, you know, just by having an email list, you'd be surprised at how you can increase your revenues just by, you know, being able to communicate with your customers through email at any time instantly. You could run promotions, you could you know, give them free items, you have a platform to advertise for free. You know, people, especially businesses, they spend thousands and tens of thousands of dollars, sometimes millions of dollars on advertising, but they overlook a simple free way of advertising just by building an email list from your customers and from your you know, visitors to your establishment or to your website.
That's right. It's when we look at other form, what it costs to get other forms of advertising out there. I mean, a phone book ad can be $1,000 a month,
right.
And you're sitting, and your message is next to all of your competitors. With an email, once you get someone on your email list and are sending them data from there, sending them regular communications and building that relationship, nobody else's message is in front of them but yours. And that's, you know, that's the value of that is tremendous, absolutely tremendous. Let's see here. Now, we're at our last couple of minutes here, Ron. You gave us a lot of really good ideas, a lot of good value. The recording for the call will be available at Online for Offline, and we will eventually get around to getting a transcript out of this call as well. That'll make it easier for folks to get access to reading. I find it easier to read through them after the fact, as well as taking my own notes. Now, Ron, you're working on a couple of new projects besides. What were the two that you're working on? I know you've showed me a report a couple days ago for the one site, and you showed me the membership site that you're doing as well. What were those two that you're working on?
Right. Well, I don't even want to announce them because I'm still not even finished. What I would say is
okay.
I have a report that I'm putting the finishing touches on, and it basically shows people how to build a relationship with their list and how to run a successful email campaign. And in this report, it's a case study on how I recently created a sublist of 2,800 subscribers, and I was able to produce a new product where I sold $15,427 worth of training material in 5 days. So from a list of only 2,800, I was able to do that in just 5 days, and I'm doing a case study about that. So if anyone's interested in that, once it's available, you can sign up at publisheracademy.com. That's the site where I teach people how to build a list and start a newsletter. I also have a product on there, a course that teaches you how to start your own newsletter from scratch on publisheracademy.com. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you'll see a link on how to start your own newsletter.
That's great. Actually, I think I stole some of the stuff from that course in the call when I was talking about some of the stuff on the call.
So, okay. I'm going to need some royalties from that, Doug. You're stealing my material.
Some royalties for using some of your ideas.
Exactly.
Well, and I'll make sure that people know from the people that are on my list know about that when you get it. Actually, the newsletter thing, I should let them know about it anyhow. And I'll let them know about your other product when you get it finished.
Okay.
But we don't have any more questions. We've got about a minute and a half left here. Once again, I want to thank you for being on the call, Ron. We've got lots of great information for folks, and the recording will be available here on our Online for Offline website in the next couple of days, and I'll have transcripts available in the next couple of weeks. Next week we have marketing automation is the subject. We're going to be talking with the folks from Infusionsoft, a really great piece of software. They're going to be telling us about how you can use technology to automate your sales process. And this is even a couple steps further than what Ron and I kind of touched on with email and being able to, if you have a client that purchases product A, you want to tell them about this series of things that they can get. You know, this software will actually automate that even more significantly than some of the other stuff that we've talked about. So that should be a really interesting call talking with them. And it is ticking down on me here time-wise. So I appreciate your time, Ron.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. That was a lot of fun, Doug. Thanks a lot.
I really appreciate you having you on here, and we'll be same time next week. We'll be talking about marketing automation. We've got a great lineup coming up. We've got a secret surprise guest on October 8th. October 1st, we're talking about using video in your marketing. We've got another lady that's going to go in depth about building a newsletter, and we've got some folks talking about using public relations to build your local business, and we've got company that's showing it, local.com, will be on talking about how you use local search to build your local marketing. All right, and it's the last 10 seconds. Once again, thanks everybody for being on the call, and thank you, Ron. I will talk to you later.
Okay, take care.